Good evening.
I'm going to talk straight away with showing you something.
Watching a screen, and on the screen there's a figure who is wearing huge industrial boots with large cables wrapped around his waist and tethered to the back of the room, and he's slapping and stomping. He's backlit, so all his physical motions are really exaggerated and powerful.
This is an example of the ephemeral gumboots as it was presented in Japan. And in this situation, it was for people who've never experienced.
Which sounds awful, and you can tell they don't have very much rhythm. But they are having a good time.
Basically, the system works like this. There's touch sensitive sensors on gumboots, which are converted to MIDI, to a sound card, to my computer, and gets routed to various processes. And my basic idea was to take the real-time input of the dancers and to transform these basic rhythms, these beautiful interlocking patterns. What you can see there is, and to use it as an inverted sound mask so that while you're treading on that rhythm, you are actually opening a little window into another world. So each time you hit, you hear another sound that's underneath. So in a way, you're surfing sonic webs. And the way I've done this was through this router object that I created, so that each sensor basically walks through lists, and they're all connected to each other, so that at any point, any switch will open any other sound. So you can travel through the sounds. I find myself at an interesting intersection, music versus movement and movement versus music. Development of music technology inspired by human movement, which can be anything from heartbeats to perspiration to walking to sport to dancing, which in turn reshapes my thinking about music. My score or blank canvas for composition becomes a three-dimensional moving body. The sense of linear progression and thus bar lines disappears. The score becomes human. This process resonates with the anti-hierarchic nature of African music and the process of creating it. Most African music involves the repetition of cyclic patterns, be they chord progressions or melodic phrases. The music is perceived as a continuous flow, like a river or a waterfall. The interlocking techniques, shifting downbeats, the largely non-functional harmony, the open forms, the extremely fast tempi of some music, the non-developmental use of repetition, contrasting, and irregular patterning, the tone color, the energy, and the joy. Departing from this familiar context and extending it to the experience where rhythm is music, a complete integration of what you see and what you hear, a combination of silent visual action and audible physical motor body movement. I believe that the sophistication in collecting and mapping this data to the vast possibilities of the electronic and electroacoustic vernacular allows for a rich field of new expression in the interactive media art setup. Boundaries between audience and virtuoso performer disappear, and it becomes a meaningful activity in a group situation. Physical handles are attached to virtual and complex studio processes. Rhythm is something that is felt, something that can be understood by analysis of movement. And most important for me, a sense of community is created, a sense of belonging, being part of a tribe. Because even socially, we are rhythm, the body is music. I would like to give you just a bit more background on the concept of the gumboots, of Zulu gumboot dance. Traditionally, this vibrant, energetic dance involves the creation of percussive rhythmic patterns in a series of stamps, claps, slaps on the lower leg. The dance involves coordinated steps and follows the call and response chants of traditional folk songs. According to the notion of play as a basis of culture, I wanted ephemeral gumboots to be a frame, a game for anyone to try, as well as an interface through which the professional gumboot dancer could create digital music with his body. At the same time, I was hoping to create a dynamic system in which I could explore different compositional opportunities presented by having real-time rhythmic input from a dancer into an environment that's normally kept characterized by beats or programmed in a very quantized manner. So the rhythms that I got out of this was things that I would never have programmed like that. The phrasings, just of using these loose samples and just the way they were combined spontaneously through this process of dance, just in a way creates a whole new genre of rhythmic understanding. I'd like to play you another clip. Happening here is basically four sound responses. There's a single sound, there's a complex sound, there's a loop, and there's a sound with a long tail that gets triggered. So these sounds start to weave into each other and create all kinds of overlaps that perhaps makes for a feeling of not seeing what you're hearing. The relationship gets very blurred. but that's something that I've come to really like as well. And in a way, it's as if the dancer just needs to trust and dance on without waiting for the music, otherwise it doesn't work. The relationships between user input and the computer's interpretations or mapping strategies are similar to those between different notes in a melody. The composer's intention should become clearer as the system develops. And I think this is where our humanness is so important. Our perceptive system has developed according to a specific evolutionary past for certain reasons, and therefore our appreciation of beauty is directly linked to that. Certain envelopes of movement, of acceleration and climax and stop will more naturally appeal to us just for the very fact that we are human. Beyond its obvious visual sonic interest, this dance is rich in metaphor, primarily a means of reinforcing cultural identity and social interaction in a hostile environment. It acts also as a site for interactive creativity, play, dialogue, the transcendence of reality, and the creation of a new hybrid cultural expression. It fuses the traditional and the modern, the rural and the urban, appropriated from its original into electronic context. The gumboot concept invites further transformations, new play, and new creative interactions that promote intercultural dialogue, flavored by already layered symbolic meanings. It is anchored in the African spirit of art as social activity and human communication. It draws on the global sonic environment of the present. It transcends boundaries of difference without giving up its own metaphoric residence and identity. But like any activity in the interactive digital world, its meaning is fluid and ongoing. It is a changing and shifting process mediated by its participants. And at that, I would like to invite anyone who would like to compose for this system to contact me and send me any ideas. I've got some really good gumbo dancer friends in South Africa who would be keen to interact with you and dance out any compositions from this side of the world.
So I'm gonna turn down the volume of her concluding remark and bring your attention to two questions that were asked after the lecture that I thought were really spot on questions. And sorry, because they're actually a little hard to hear.
I have a question. Bruce Nauman, 1968, stomping in the studio, maybe? He filmed himself stomping around in boots in the studio. And it's just an endless loop, it seems. And I never really understood it, but what you said about your loops and your dances illuminated that piece a little bit more for me. The idea that it's constantly changing, even if you do the same thing again, it doesn't really feel the same. It's a hard feeling to get at, really, but can you say a little bit more about how your type of repetition that you find in Africa relates to, say, the more industrial type of repetition that perhaps Bruce Nauman was concerned with? Like the idiotic repetition, there is such a thing as mindless repetition as well.
I'm interested also, the tethering aspect of this that you just mentioned about the cables are interesting because, as I understand, the roots of this were used in the mines, and so the workers were in fact chained. Is that right?
They weren't chained physically, but it was pretty strict conditions. Not that I know of, anyway.
Okay. Well. because one of the things that I was interested in was that, as I, that they were used as, it was, the dance was essentially a form of communication between the workers, that they were not allowed to speak and that they were communicating. And I was curious if you have thought about that aspect of the, this is a communication device, or a method of communication, because you, I mean, last week we had a speaker who used this data glove, and it was very much about using that as a way of communicating. It was a communication device. Here, I'm curious, is there an element of communication?
I think